Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 9. Is it? It's 9 now, right? We finally passed 8. Well, it feels like a long time.
What the hell is he talking about?
I never know what he's talking about.
Yes, moving on. I'm Andrew.
This is Tabletop Joe.
Yeah, this is still Damien.
Alright, I'm feeling kind of weird. Tabletop Joe, where's that one from? I know I should know it, but right now, Andrew. It's not coming to me.
Which is why we should move on.
it's a Tom Waits referral reference.
Oh, okay. Yes. Anyways, we're flying it solo this week.
By solo, do you mean all of the people that are supposed to be on the podcast are here?
I mean as in without a guest.
Yeah, there's three of us.
Yeah.
Three. There is no solo in three.
Solo as a group. Damon has just left the premises. Okay, this week we're going to be doing, for our open discussion, we'll be talking about our top five films that people don't talk about, or people don't talk about enough, and news, trailers, and then we'll be discussing this movie by David Spalter, his first feature film called Around. So, Douglas, you seem to be very happy about your...
Yes, I'm quite prepared.
and quite prepared about your top five list. How about we do this like one by one? We go around the table one by one.
Alright, so everybody's making fun of me because I decided to this week come prepared. I went on to IMDb and I printed off a few stuff. I made a few notes. I was actually making notes while Andrew was getting ready with the podcast, which is why I was okay with us starting a little bit late. And I don't understand. Why is it that I need to be made fun of for being prepared? Is it that nobody else is prepared ever? Is that what it is?
Haven't you ever been on this podcast before?
We have.
Don't need a reason.
Damn you. I resemble that remark.
Oh, don't steal Zoe's lines.
Zoe?
That's her name. Zoe Bell?
Zoe Bell? You realize she stole that from Foghorn Leghorn. Right?
I don't care. So it's her line.
No, it's not.
Written
hers.
By Tarantino.
Written by how can it be?
No, we're moving on. No, cutting this off. This is off.
Alright, so yeah, what's the first movie on your list?
Well, in no particular order, this is just the first piece of paper that's on top here. I have Riz Cutter's A Love Story. It stars Will Arnett. I shouldn't really say it stars him. He has a very small role. But Will Arnett is great. It also stars a few other people. Patrick Fugit. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Fugit? Fugit? and quite a few other people, including one of my favorite singers ever, Tom Waits. He is in this. I didn't realize until I got halfway through the movie. So I think this is a spectacular film. Well, I shouldn't say spectacular. I enjoyed watching it. It was a fun story. I would watch it again, you know. That's about it. I don't know. I don't have much else to say about this other than I love it. And if, you know, you happen to see it on TV, which I doubt, or you see the DVD somewhere in a bargain bin, which is much more likely, that you should, you know, buy it for $3 or rent it if you see it out there and take a chance.
Damien?
I've never seen that Riz Cutter's movie. Have you seen it, Andrew?
I've been told by many people to watch it, but I've never gotten around to it.
Yeah, we probably should get on that.
Hold on, can I hold a bet? I bet you that on your list is Quid Pro Quo.
Yes. you're right. Probably right.
So what's on your list then?
Alright, so let's just get the obvious out of the way. You guys really need to watch a movie. You guys suck. Quid Pro Quo. The DVD came out like last week and I've ordered it. If Amazon ever decides to send it, be quite grateful.
By the way, speaking of Amazon deciding to send things, I ordered GoldenEye on a completely different topic. On Black Friday, and I still haven't got it.
Because it isn't in stock, and it's
but how can
waiting.
It not be in stock for like 4 months? How long has it been?
Maybe they don't care about you.
It's the only good Pierce Brosnan Bond movie.
Anyway, back on topic. We were talking about Quid Pro Quo.
pro cool. All
right, yeah. You bum. You've mentioned this movie tons of times on the podcast, but you've never at least given anyone a hint at what it's actually about.
Well,
what
I did the first time I mentioned it. It's about this guy. He's a reporter and he's in a wheelchair, and he stumbles across a group of people who they basically pretend to be in wheelchairs. As in, they're able-bodied, but they have meetings where they fantasize about being in wheelchairs, and they behave as though they're unable to walk. And he was trying to find out, why is it that these people, you know, who would do this to themselves, who would purposefully make themselves, you know, cripple? And along the way, he meets the love interest of the movie, and I don't want to go into spoilers.
Whole point is that we're telling people movies they should be seeing, you know, so not spoil anything.
Right, I don't really want to spoil it, but they both have a pretty interesting relationship by the end of it, and the relationship between this guy who is actually crippled and these people who go around pretending to be crippled, along with the love story that is told. And the end of this movie is is really fantastic. I mean, I didn't see it coming. As in, there'd be a point where you think you know where the movie is going to go, but by the end of it, you're so surprised and you're so happy that, you know, they took that route instead of, you know, the typical man finds girl, falls in love with girl, and at the end it's happily ever after. You won't get any of that, but it is still satisfying. So that's my movie that people should watch, not only talk about. Could you please get on it, Andrew and Douglas? Watch the movie.
I'll put it on my list for to watch this week.
Nice.
All right. How I ordered this list, when I actually ordered mine, I don't know if you guys actually ordered yours.
Wait, Andrew, did you not hear me when I said in no particular order?
Well, I was really talking to Damien. I was really talking to Damien.
By saying you guys?
Yes.
Particular.
No, I didn't order my list.
Was really like from the movie that I think people might have seen all the way up to the movies that I think no one has seen. Right? And even though these are movies that still haven't been watched enough or talked about enough, this one comes up as one that I think enough people have seen, but whenever it comes up in conversation, it's like, oh, that movie's awesome, and they move right along. And this has to be the newest David Mamet film that came out last year.
Sorry.
Red Belt.
Mamet. Isn't it?
Who cares?
Isn't it? M-A-M-E-T. Mamet. Dave Mamet.
Does it matter?
He's from Chicago.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter where he's from.
It doesn't matter how it's pronounced.
All right. To make Douglas feel better, David Mamet.
As he's French, apparently.
We've just made him French.
Yes, we have. I'm going to stand by that.
When did you hate the French?
When did I hate the French? I love Michel Gondry.
And Damien is sporting his France jersey today.
Yes, therefore we are loving France today. So it is Mamet.
Can I talk about the movie though, or like should Douglas make fun of me so more?
I'll make fun of you when I well and am ready.
Tell me.
I know that made no sense.
All right, whatever.
So just keep going.
The newest David Mamet film from last year, Red Belt, starring Chetoui Ejiofor, is that how you pronounce it? Or did we decide on Chewy, right? This movie really is amazing. It's about this guy who runs judo? Or some special
martial arts,
brand of martial arts dojo. And he's having trouble making money, so he ends up having to go into this tournament. And it's all about this character, who we learn about how pure he takes the martial art and the sport. And whenever he sees people, like, troubling that purity, you know, making the sport no longer fair or exploiting this sport in any way, he just goes off and ends up kicking ass more or less, or just fixing the problem. And people need to watch this movie. Like, it's not as high action as I'm making it sound, but it's an amazing drama, and when you do get an action scene, it's wonderful to watch. You know, I think Damon has seen this. I don't know if Douglas has.
No, still haven't seen it yet.
Do you agree or disagree in any way?
This movie was, I mean, it came out of nowhere. I mean, we've seen lots of martial arts movie, and usually it's all about kicking ass and having as little story as possible to, you know, so that you don't get distracted from the ass kickery, right? Because that's what these movies are about. But the story surrounding this, I mean, it's not one that's tailored to, you know, people going around kicking a lot of ass. It's not like, oh, they took his girlfriend and he's going to kick ass from here until he gets to the final person. It didn't have anything to do with that. But the story was compelling, and as Andrew said, where there were action scenes, they were very well done. Very well done.
So kicking it back to you, Douglas.
Okay, well, in your, you know, spirit of having orderliness, I have now reordered my list.
Oh, so from here on,
it's ordered. Okay.
All right, so question. Would Risk Cutters be number 5 or?
No. This is not ordered in terms of liking or in terms of amount of people that have watched it or may have watched it. This now is in terms of categories.
Okay.
So I am still in the, you know, love story, fun love story to watch kind of category.
Just checking.
And I just realized I didn't really talk about what Risk Cutters was, but in the name it tells you it's a love story. There you go. People kill themselves and they're in limbo and awesome. Anyway, back to my second movie. It is in the same, you know, ilk of that whole love story thing. It's also not an extremely, you know, heavy movie. It's very light, very easy to watch. I mean, whenever this movie is on television, I have to watch it for at least another half an hour, maybe the whole thing anyway. So, and this movie is A Good Year with Russell Crowe and Marion Cotillard, who was amazing, not in this movie, but in La Vie en Rose. She was good in this movie, just that it wasn't a part that lent itself for an Academy Award. And I thought this movie was great. Apparently, IMDb tells me that Aaron Eckhart was supposed to be in it, and thank God he wasn't, because I've seen him do well in two movies ever. Okay.
All right, what are those two movies?
One, The Dark Knight. You kind of got me around to that. And the second one, Towelhead.
You didn't like him in...
No.
What was that movie I liked? Meet Bill?
Well, okay. I'll give you... I haven't watched Meet Bill. But Meet Bill looked to me exactly like...
I'm going to pull up Aaron Eckhart's IMDb. Because I'm sure I can
look to me exactly
more movies that
like
I
whatchamacallit. The... Don't Stop Smoking one, you know.
Oh, I love him in that one.
That movie is not awesome. It's not that funny.
He was in Aaron Brockovich. I don't remember him in that movie, but he must have been amazing because that movie.
No, he wasn't amazing. He was average as usual.
Yeah, I really don't have anything else to add. There was.
Wait. He was in Paycheck, Andrew. Wasn't that movie great?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wait. Wasn't he also in a cooking movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones? He must have been amazing
that
in that one.
I still haven't watched that
yes.
one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
No, he wasn't bad in that movie, but that movie. We've all seen that movie.
But yeah, I enjoyed this movie a lot. I'm referring to A Good Year, of course. And it's wonderful. They have this joke where Russell Crowe drives around in France and just makes fun of these cyclists by giving them the finger and shouting out Lance Armstrong whenever he passes them. So that's great. And it's a wonderful story about, well, you've got the love story part of it, and you've also got him kind of trying to get in touch with his uncle, which is a difficult task given the circumstances. So I think all in all, that is another movie that I would recommend to anybody.
Okay. Damien?
Wait. Should I comment on his movie or just move on?
If you have anything to add to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I like it as much as Douglas, so I don't really think it's that underrated. I think the reason people don't talk about it is because, you know, it's kind of average to me. I don't know, maybe Douglas. But Douglas likes what Douglas likes.
So there's nothing we can do about it. What's that supposed to mean, sir?
There's nothing we can do about it.
No, I have to agree with Douglas. I love that movie. I mean, it is just as he said, one of those movies that whenever it's on TV, I have to sit down and watch. Even if it's just 20 minutes, I can't catch at the moment. At the same time, it's nothing that I'd shout up as, you know, best picture of the year, but it's fun and I like to watch it. Just like Evil Dead.
Did you just compare a good year to Evil Dead?
Of course I did.
I think he did.
Oh, you guys, you're crazy people. Sticking with Douglas's theme of love story, ness, whatever. My next movie is About a Boy.
About a Boy, is that the one with Hugh Grant?
Yes.
That movie is not bad.
Haven't seen it.
I kind of love this movie.
Honestly, I have to say, I have, like, deep down, I have a bit of a man crush for Hugh Grant. He's amazing.
Not so much.
No, you guys talk.
Right. Not so much.
This is just for Douglas.
Yeah, I really, like, every time I see this movie, much like, maybe it's the same way Douglas feels about A Good Year, but I've never seen this movie and not stop to watch it from wherever it is. I don't know. There's just something about the movie. Rachel Weisz being in it didn't hurt.
Weisz. Her name is Weisz.
I don't care.
Also, Andrew, now you call it Weisz after I had to make fun of you the other day.
What did I do the other day?
Andrew always called her Rachel Weisz today. And I was like, Andrew, you know it's Rachel Weisz, right?
No, I called her Rachel Weisz.
Yeah, but honestly, this has nothing to do with my love.
Anyways, yeah, moving on. Continue.
Right. I'm pretty sure most people have seen or heard about this movie. No one really talks about it, but it's definitely one of the better romantic comedies that, you know, I've ever seen. And I watch a lot of them. Like, romantic comedies is definitely one of my favorite genres, and this one blows most of them out of the water. So I just don't understand how, like, I really don't hear it come up in conversation. I don't know if it's that, you know, it's British, so that most people didn't really see it, but I love this movie.
This was About a Boy, right?
Yes, Andrew.
Your thoughts about that movie reminds me of my thoughts about Love Actually.
No.
Both of them are, you know, great Hugh Grant movies.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't call About a Boy great, but About a Boy was pretty decent, I would say.
Haven't watched it, but, you know, I'll put it on my list and eventually get around to it, which basically means never.
Pretty much.
The next movie on my list is 10 Items or Less. No.
Yeah, that's the real mature way.
Wow, I mean, I knew this podcast was infantile, but
that's not bad.
Douglas, you just took it to another level there.
We should mind this day.
You are in a
the
timeout.
The day that
sir.
I blew a raspberry episode at the microphone.
Right, so 10 Items or Less. What happens to me with these movies is, these are movies I don't hear about from anyone. And then out of, like, randomly, I decide to just pick up and watch these movies. And it amazes me, even though I must say it's not the best movie ever, just the fact that it was able to reach such a level of above average, that it amazed me. Right?
You're amazed by averageness.
Above averageness.
Oh, I'm sorry. Above averageness.
No, it's like I pick up the movie and I look at
it.
Which is
why he supports England.
Let me. Right. Ignoring those fools. Shit, you totally confused me.
That's what happens to people that like 10 Items or Less, Andrew.
Like, I pick
because
up the
just for this the sole reason that it is above average. Yeah. You know what, Andrew? I like Paul Blart too. Oh wait, no, I don't.
All right, your turn. All right, 10 Items or Less. Now what's this?
Okay, no, go ahead. I won't make fun of you anymore.
I think I'm going to turn off his mic now. Right. Next time you guys talk, I'm going to turn off your mic.
Sure.
Right.
You know, we have feet. You should walk over to your mic.
10 items or less. The movie, I just picked it up and it just amazed me because I was expecting nothing and I got such a great story out of it. I mean, Morgan Freeman is playing himself in the movie. I mean, I'm not sure how much of the character is Morgan Freeman, but I believe it, you know. There's Penelope Cruz, which is awesome in that movie, and the dialogue and just some of the characters in there are amazing. The Indian guy in the grocery store, I love him. The little quirks as you're going through, and there are even a good amount of scenes like that where you have some cool music going to some cool little quirky acting and storytelling, and I like it. I mean, it's the closest you get to a romantic comedy without having people get together at the end. You know, and people should go and watch that movie if you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, in the end, I think Morgan Freeman crashes a car with an unnamed female in it. Yeah.
So you're telling me a movie which stars Morgan Freeman and Penelope Cruz will have in the end Morgan Freeman crashing with an unnamed female when there's Penelope Cruz in the movie?
Yes.
Why wouldn't he have Penelope Cruz in the car with him?
Because he's an old man. And Penelope Cruz? Go out with an old man? Like Morgan Freeman? Come on. Come on!
Anyways, yeah, that's my number four pick for movies people will talk about. Douglas?
Okay, well, my next pick. First, I'm going to mention something.
Hold on, is this what? Your next pick?
Yes, it is my next pick.
Do you have more than one pick?
I do have more than one pick.
Why don't you just, like, make it one? Because I know all you want to talk about is that one movie.
I know, but... we had to. We were given five, so I took five. Therefore, I have done two. Now I'm on my third. I will get a fourth, and then I will get a fifth. Isn't that generally how it works?
I think that's how maths works.
Yeah, I think so, too. So my next pick, which would be my third, is... Well, okay, first, I want to say something.
No, just the third.
Okay, no, I want to say something first. I picked a movie, but I had to throw it out just 2 seconds ago because I realized it would make six, and so I like to just mention it. I wasn't certain that I'd put it on the list anyway because it is a bit bigger than some of the other things I have here, and it was Trainspotting.
Oh, I thought that was the one that I was...
No, that's not the one. And you do know the one that I want for, you know, the big finale. But right now, I'm going to go with The Virgin Suicides, directed by Sofia Coppola, starring many people. There was Kirsten Dunst in it. There was there was an older James Woods and Kathleen Turner, as well as Josh Hartnett. This actually was the first movie. I remember I watched it in probably 2004, maybe 2005. This was the first movie where I watched it and I said, hang on, this Josh Hartnett guy might not be that bad an actor. Though he was only in it for a very short period of time. But yes, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It's not your typical storyline, which generally a Coppola movie is not. The only one she has that is generic kind of is the last one she did. Can't remember the name, but it was about King Louis and Marie Antoinette. That was the name of the movie, Marie Antoinette. So it was very different, very interesting. It was almost like a legend being retold about these girls from a neighborhood and their story. I don't want to say too much. I mean, the name kind of gives it away, The Virgin Suicides. But it's almost like a retelling of a legend. And that is how the movie is spaced out. And then you have people trying to find extra information on these people. And it's just almost told as if these three girls are larger than life. And I loved that. I thought the movie was fantastic. And again, this is one that I would definitely recommend to watch. Probably even more so than A Good Year. Maybe not. I'd probably put this one on the same level as Risk Cutters, just because Risk Cutters is less known.
Because it involves people cutting their wrist.
Yes, exactly. There you go. I guess I've got a morbid streak in me. I've got Risk Cutters and I've got Virgin Suicide. So there you have it. That's my third pick.
Yeah, that's totally a great movie, Virgin Suicides. What I loved in it most, I think, was the parts with Danny DeVito, even though he only got like 2 minutes. Like, I just loved him. I found him funny and I don't even know why.
Yeah, I actually forgot before you said it that he was in it.
Danny DeVito was good in this movie. So, Damien, what do you think? What's, do you have anything to comment on this one, or do you want to just go straight into your fourth, third, whatever the hell it is? Apparently, Andrew doesn't know how to count, so we're all over the place with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure most people have seen this movie, though. I mean, it used to come on all the time. I know I've seen it. I saw it on cable at least three or four times. I don't know. So maybe I was just lucky, I guess. But I like this movie. I wouldn't put it on my list. I think people talk about it a good amount. But what you guys said.
And by the way, the other day I almost bought Lost in Translation. Like on DVD, I was in the shop and I saw it, and it was for cheap, and I was like, yeah, give it to me now. And then when I got there, I realized it was full screen, and I was pissed, and I had to get them to refund my money. Like 2 seconds after I hand the man the money and him cash it and him give me change and everything, I pick up the DVD because it was like in like a locked cabinet and they had to pull it out for me. Yeah. I see full screen and I'm like, just give me back my money. But that's an awesome movie. I think that needs more attention.
My third movie is Dark City.
Oh, yes!
I'm British.
Yes! That is fantastic.
This movie, I don't know how this movie escaped people's view, because this movie is phenomenal. God, I love this movie. And I didn't see it until late.
Me right? either. I saw it. The first time I saw it was maybe a year ago.
Right. Andrew told me to watch this other old movie starring another guy. I don't want to call the name Pedro, no. Which is nonsense. And I hate Blade Runner. I know there's people out there that love it, but the reason you love it is because you were three and had no sense. If you watch it now, the movie is awful. It's god awful. But Dark City, I saw at what, 9 years after the fact, and that movie is still awesome.
Everyone, I apologize. We're going to have to stop the podcast right now because we're about to go and watch Blade Runner again now. Damien, you're staying.
No. Movie's bad.
You know what's funny? I don't think I don't like Blade Runner, but I have to say that I have tried to watch that movie no less than 10 different times and I've never been able to get to the end for one reason or another.
It's because it's bad. And it's not even bad in the good way. You know, like the Rambos.
Yeah,
watching them.
Yeah.
No, you know they're bad. But they're so awesome. It's so fun to watch. Right? It's like sugar. you cannot help but smile and watch those movies. Like I saw Predator recently. And Predator is still awesome.
That is so good.
Yes, the story makes no sense. And Schwarzenegger can't act the same. It's like, the movie's awesome.
So are you saying Dark City has no story?
No, I'm saying
okay,
that.
Okay, I was just confused as to what you were getting at.
I'm saying that. The reason I didn't see this movie until late, right? And it's the same like, I've had this problem with a lot of older movies that people have affinity towards. Star Wars and Blade Runner, those are the two major ones. Blade Runner more like Star Wars, I can understand, right? The movies, like, I don't have the love that most people have, but Blade Runner I cannot understand. I don't know where all that fan base came from. But I saw Dark City and people were saying, oh, you know, it was The Matrix before The Matrix. So I thought in my head, you know, all right, The Matrix before The Matrix, it might not be, you know, as well done. But the movie, I mean, at no point was I disappointed with this movie. Even though the CG work clearly was from the 90s, movie is still awesome. And people don't talk about it. And I just don't, like, people should get on. They should start putting that on every cable station they can, because more people need to see
it. I've actually seen it on Stars a couple times.
Yes, it has been on TV.
But I didn't think it was that good. I thought it was one of those films which was completely style over substance. And it looked amazing and everything, but like, I just got bored towards the end, and the ending was so disappointing.
What exactly did you want out of the ending?
Well, you see, I don't want to say it right now because Miles in the chat says he's actually going to go and watch it, a special screening on Thursday, so I don't want to spoil the ending. But let's just leave it there. I'll tell you privately what.
Oh, you thought the ending was a letdown? Is that it?
Yeah, I thought it was a letdown.
Too much Dragon Ball Z. I think that's
that's what it is. I mean, remember we are talking to a man that did go yesterday to what's the name of it?
Street Fighter.
The Adventures of Chun-Li.
The only thing I can say about that movie.
Andrew, stop.
That's enough. Just talk about your next movie.
Yeah, yeah. Your number three. We don't know nothing about Street Fighter. No.
It's better than the Van Damme
number
version.
Three. No shit.
Okay, my number three movie has to be Volcano High. Now, the first time I heard about this movie was when... Have you seen?
Did he just say style over some sense? Did he actually say and then come to me with Volcano High? No, he's crazy. No, this youth is crazy. No. Andrew, stop. Find another move. Keep this, because there's no way. There's no way he just looked at me and said, oh, it was style over substance. And you're going to then, right afterwards, you would even have the decency to put it somewhere further down where we'd have all forgotten.
Also, hold on. Let me, would you have felt any better if I had waited to put it at number one?
Yeah, put it at number one. I don't want it. No, you can't say that. No. There's just no way.
Wait, hang on.
Have you seen the movie?
Hang on, I just realized something. Didn't you say that this was, you know, numbered from the most watched to the least watched?
Yeah.
Wasn't Volcano High on MTV for about 10 years?
Exactly.
And no one watched it because of the MTV horrible dub and recut.
Yeah, I'm sure that's why. And I'm sure nobody ever watches MTV.
They're going out of business.
They must. Yeah. Actually, I do watch MTV every now and again. And I'm not the MTV
How's the music on MTV?
Music?
Okay. Alright, let's talk about Volcano. I'll try not to laugh hysterically throughout whatever the nonsense.
Volcano High?
Yeah. High. Whatever.
Okay, I was just checking to make sure you weren't going to, like, stab me in the neck right there. Right, no. The thing about this movie is, yes, it is one of those which is style over substance. However, the ratio, I don't think, is that horrible as horrible as Dark City. Douglas is just laughing his ass off, waiting for Damien to blow. The one thing I found just great about this movie was
it Snoop Dogg?
I can tell you, I've never watched the MTV version of this movie, so I can't tell you anything about, like, Big Boy or Snoop Dogg or Lil Jon and how their voice.
You don't like Snoop Dogg?
No.
Bow wow wow yippee yo yippee.
Alright, yeah, that's the note.
Okay, so continue. What are you going to say about this awful, awful film? Sorry, this movie.
Yes, that people should... That is underrated for no reason at all. I can't understand why people don't like this movie.
I mean, it's just one of those guilty pleasures out there that I have. It has all the fight sequences I love. It has some great science fiction thing. It reminds me of Dragon Ball Z when I used to like Dragon Ball Z. Right? I'm sorry, looking at David has cast up laughing.
Andrew, you need to keep your composure. This is a professional institution that we're trying to, you know, pull off here.
G-Man,
be professional. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's why David Spalcher sent me the DVD, okay?
Yes.
Right, and some of it was just slapstick hilarious. Like, just the facial expressions on these actors delivering lines, I couldn't stop laughing throughout the movie. So you have action, you have comedy, you have some style, and the smallest semblance of story I've ever seen.
So that's the substance.
Yeah.
No, I won't make my comment. Sorry. I was poised to make a comment, but wait, no, I won't.
Damien, you can go now.
No.
Okay, no, I'm next. Let's forget this ever happened. And my next pick is a movie that it has a bit of a cult following. I'm not sure how large or small it would be. So I'm almost hoping that somebody's heard of this that's listening right now. It's a movie written, directed, and starring a man named John Cameron Mitchell. It's Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Love that movie.
Yes.
Never seen it.
I thought this movie was amazing since I saw it first in college. I've watched it so many times. It's actually a musical, a rock musical, about a boy that grew up in Germany during the time of the Berlin Wall. And he got taken to the States by a very nice USGI as his wife. And then
he had a sex change that kind of got botched, hence the angry inch. He's got the inch left. And it all kind of balloons from there. And you've got actually, I wouldn't say a big name, but a semi-big name in there now is Michael Pitt. He was in that movie. And the music is spectacular. The story, I think, is great. And I would hands down recommend this to anyone. It's the oddest film you've ever seen, but you love it anyway. So what do you guys have to say about that?
Again, never seen it. Sounds interesting, though.
I agree with everything Douglas has said, and I have nothing else to add. Just go and watch the movie.
Okay, so I guess we're a bit silent on that. So, Damien, what's your next pick?
Oh, my next pick is Equilibrium.
Oh, I totally forgot about
that
movie.
Oh my god, I love
that
this movie.
That is the reason why I love Christian Bale so much. That was the first movie I ever saw with him in it.
Now, I don't know who Christian Bale pissed off at the end of this movie, but this movie had probably the worst release of all time. Like, there was like a sticker on the side of a wall, and that was their entire marketing budget.
Can you imagine someone walking past the lights during that last fight sequence?
I mean, the movie, from start to finish, these guys set out, right, to make a movie that was just going to be awesome. Like, I'm sure they sat down and they're like, all right, we need to make an action flick. And we need a setting. What's popular now? Oh, post-apocalypse, yeah. That's about right.
Who can we get for cheap? There's Christian Bale.
This is a Christian Bale. He looks fit. They're like, all right. So what are we going to have him do? He'll be a police and he'll kick ass. But how will we? Like, no, don't worry about that. All we're going to do is focus on the ass kicking.
Can I tell you?
We'll botch the story. So
can I tell you? I remember it was high school. I first heard about that movie, and people were just like whispering about it to me. And I saw it in the shop one day, and I just bought the DVD without even watching it. Christ. And then when I watched it, like that opening scene is all you need to realize what this movie is going to be and how awesome it is.
I mean, I saw this movie like 6 months after the first Matrix, and I mean, all I used to watch, like when I had free time, was just the action scenes from the Matrix and the action scenes from this. Oh my, I mean, it was just so good. The action in this is top notch. It is super light, which is what I want. I don't need reality in action flicks. If I want reality, I'll watch a drama. The possibility was thrown out of the window the second this movie started, and it was, oh, this movie is great. Anybody who hasn't seen this movie, get off your ass. I mean, you need to watch this now.
All right, I've figured out which movie I'm watching after the podcast. Right, is there anything you want to add on to that, Douglas?
Just that I love that movie. I agree wholeheartedly with Damien on that point. I thought it was great. Nothing more to say. Watch the thing.
All right. So my number two pick is The Orphanage. Whenever someone comes up to me and say they're tired of horror films, they're all boring, stupid, annoying, predictable. You can't watch anymore. And I think it has to do with Japanese horror films being flooding the market, I tell them, just go and watch The Orphanage. This movie is amazing. It was produced by Guillermo del Toro, and it was directed by, let me get the guy's name.
I just don't think he's that great a director.
You're wrong.
He hasn't, look at the list of movies he's done. He hasn't done that very many good movies.
We understand. You're wrong, but we understand.
The Orphanage is directed by this guy, Juan Antonio Bayona. I haven't seen anything else from him, but this movie is amazing. It's a Spanish horror film. It's about this girl who comes back to her orphanage where she was while she was an orphan with her family to make it into a new orphanage, and she loses her child and all the stuff that goes on in the house during the time, you know. And
that sounds so odd to say. You couldn't say it a different way. She loses her child. Her child is not like a ball or a tiny flashy thing.
So how would you explain
the
missing?
The child went missing.
Yeah.
You know.
Missing work.
Okay. Well, the child goes missing, and it's just an amazing film. Everyone needs to go and watch it. It's out on DVD from a long time ago. You have no excuse.
Yeah, this movie is good. I mean, I don't watch horror movies because, like, they're all bad. All right?
And then I told you the right? very thing. Go
they're,
and watch The Orphanage.
Like, pretty. They're all bad. I mean, horror movies work for children. I don't know why they keep making them R ratings, because the only people these movies going to scare are children. I mean, when I was afraid of movies, I was afraid of Tremors. The first time I saw that, I didn't go outside. I was afraid that, you know, one of them was going to come and eat me. But I mean, you grow up and, you know, you become sensible, we hope. And horror movies, I mean, for cheap thrills, yeah, but it's not really scary. This movie though, I mean, if you like small children, you might not want to watch this movie, because you won't like them after this movie. This movie is rough, right? They went all out on this movie. They made sure that, you know, this movie is creepy. It is really disturbing, and people should not allow their children to be in movies. I mean, I saw this movie the first time with my mother, and we stopped talking to small children. Fuck. I mean, you're no longer fond of small children after you've seen this movie. It refreshed the genre, and then the new Friday the 13th movie killed the genre altogether. But you need to see this. I mean, just outside of it being a horror movie, it's just really well done, and you'll enjoy yourself. When the movie ends, you won't be disappointed.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to that, Douglas?
I love the movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember thinking the ending was a little bit weak. But other than that, it was great.
Okay. Moving on to you guys. I think we're at number one now.
We are at number one. Yes, we are.
So Douglas, what is your number one?
No, my number one movie.
Least talked about movie.
No. I did not say this was the least talked about movie in my list. I said I had it in sections.
Okay, so which section are we in now?
Here's the thing, right? First, I had the love section, the love story thing with Wrist Cutters and A Good Year. Then I had the... What the hell was my next pick? I don't even know. I had The Virgin Suicide, which was the very, you know, cool story section. Well...
I don't think that's a section.
That's a section for me, thank you very much. Then after that, I had Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the, you know, kind of off-the-wall section. And now we've got just the I really like this guy section. And this movie is probably his first major film, Brazil by Terry Gilliam, which Andrew knew I was going to say.
Yes, I knew.
Right? I think that Brazil is spectacular. And I love the story behind it. I don't even care about the movie itself. Just think about, like, all the controversy that was going on at the time. This guy made this movie, Brazil, which is crazy in itself. It's a movie about this, again, your post-apocalyptic type scenario, where you've got all of these terrorists going around shooting up people in... I don't even know if it's in England. Everybody was British. I don't think they actually named a place. So I assumed always that it was in England. Did I just say everybody spoke British?
Yeah, but we're moving
past. Everyone had a British accent. Apologies. And so it's a highly bureaucratic scenario. Everything is done. You know, all the T's must be crossed. All the I's must be dotted. At the same time, it's almost like as if there's a dictatorship and people are just renditioned away or taken away with little or no cause. But at the same time, when they're taken away, the family member has to sign at least 5 forms in triplicate, which is spectacular. And, you know, it's a fantasy story, which Gilliam does all the time. and it involves, there's a love story in it. Robert De Niro is a vigilante electrician. Michael Palin is a torture monger kind of a guy. I don't even know how to describe this story. It's so insane. But you should watch it because it's great. However, not only that, but the controversy about how the movie came out is spectacular just to find out about, because
right, this, I didn't hear this. So
this basically happens in any Terry Gilliam movie, but it was more pronounced in this one. First, Terry Gilliam shot the movie and he said, "I'm done. I love it how it is. Done." Then the studio decided, "We don't like it. We're going to cut it, but we're not going to tell Terry. We're just going to release it." So Terry goes, you know, he walks into the theater. I'm sure this isn't a real story, but he walks in the theater and sees his movie and he's like, "Wait a second, I don't remember this shit. What the hell is that?" And apparently it didn't do very well. So luckily enough, Terry got his way and they released not his version, but a middle ground type version where Terry Gilliam was like, "I'm not cutting this, I'm not cutting this." And the studio said, "Oh, we're cutting that." And they kind of came to a middle ground. And sometime later, finally, we got the full version from Terry Gilliam on the Criterion Edition DVDs. But it was just, you know, ridiculous. And apparently, it went as far as, I guess they didn't release his film in a timely manner, because Terry Gilliam actually went and paid for a full-page ad, a half-page ad in the Daily Variety, and it was framed as if it were a funeral announcement, and in it were these words. It was just, "Dear Sid Sheinberg, when are you going to release my film? Signed, Terry Gilliam." And I thought that was hilarious. But either way, forget about the controversy, just watch the film and make sure the film you're watching is Terry Gilliam's cut. It is spectacular.
I have to say that movie was weird, and I think I have to watch it another time before I give it full judgment. But I loved The Last Hour, which is what they cut out, right?
Yes, they cut out The Last Hour because they made it happy instead of not so happy.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's an awesome pick. Damien?
Still haven't seen it. You guys keep talking about it. One day I should get around to seeing it. But unlike Andrew, when I say I'm going to watch a movie, usually get around to it. But I've seen all the write-ups that I've seen for this movie have been positive. So I'll probably get around to it. I'll probably try and watch it this week, if not next week.
Actually, I have the big triple disc edition I could lend you if you want.
So that was your big, that was your final one, right?
That was my, yes, you see, Andrew doesn't realize this, but when you count, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and if you said you stop at 5, then you stop at 5.
Yeah, I did write down 7 movies in my list.
No, we're
does
on
that mean I get to say all of them, or?
Of course, because it's your podcast.
Alright, so Damien, what's your number one?
Yeah, I was going to choose something else as my number one, and then I changed my mind.
No Love Actually?
And then I changed my mind.
No Death Proof?
Hilarious. And then I changed my mind again. And then I remembered...
Spike Lee movie?
No. I remembered this song from the Ghost in the Shell movie.
Please don't tell me your pick is Ghost.
No,
in the Shell.
My pick is not Ghost.
Thank goodness.
I would have argued with you about that pick.
Yeah, because that everybody in the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Seen that movie. But my pick is still an anime, and it's the Cowboy Bebop movie, The Knocking on Heaven's Door. I really like. Even people who watch a lot of anime. A lot of people have like this movie has. Slipped a lot of people.
Really? Because I mean, Cowboy Bebop is one of the most popular animes
right.
out there.
Right.
No, don't you think they would have seen the film?
Right. The series. A lot of people see the series, but I've never really been.
I have to say, Damien,
anywhere.
I'm not a huge anime fan. Well, I shouldn't say I'm not a huge anime fan. Mm. Right. I am in a sense that I like it a lot. I just don't watch a lot of the stuff. However, I've seen both the shows and the movie already. So you know that must say something.
Yeah, but I mean. A lot of people don't talk. I really love that movie, and I mean, I don't know if a lot of people haven't seen it.
in my view, like, I've never seen a lot of, you know, talk or anything about this movie. It's never really come up in any conversation that I've had.
Because you just don't, like, get a lot of anime fans out here.
Yeah, because they're not fun to talk to. Have you? They're anime really...
You're talking about Adrian, right?
What's that supposed to mean?
Let's leave it there.
Yeah, there's this youth. Even if you like the subject, if he's part of the conversation, you're no longer interested in talking about it. But the Bebop movie, love that movie. I know that they're going to massacre the Cowboy Bebop name with Keanu Reeves.
What's wrong with Keanu Reeves? I'm sure he will put on a spectacular performance.
Hey, question.
Is that all?
Question. All right. Let's just accept the fact that the Cowboy Bebop movie will be made. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's accept the fact that Keanu Reeves will be the lead, will be playing Spike. Do you think they'll try to, like, fix him up with the hair?
Yes.
Of course they will. And that'll be the only thing that they take from,
like,
the comic.
I think that's going to be the most hilarious thing, to see that, like, entire style all live action.
All they're going to do is they're just going to make him grow his hair a little bit and mess it up.
Yeah, they're going to pick and choose things that they want from it, and then other things that they clearly can't replicate, like why it was awesome. they're going to replace it with complete nonsense.
Hey, I hope they just
see Transformers.
Like, I hope they just, like, play the tank song all throughout the movie, and I'll sit down and just listen to that.
I hope they just don't make the movie. Can they just draw another one? Like, honestly, what happened to animated movies? Pixar fault, you know, everybody's gone 3D.
No, actually, I was just reading about people that went to WonderCon, and it's still going on, I guess.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, and Disney said in their presentation that they're committed to doing at least one per...
Drawn.
Like, every two years, yeah, one drawn cartoon every 2 years.
Yeah, but the next one is the Princess on the Frog, or the Frog on the Frog.
That looks crap.
Yeah. I won't be lining up.
Yeah, but let's hope that, you know, the fact that they're going to dedicate themselves to it will mean they'll eventually shell out good stuff.
Yeah, but I don't want good stuff from the US. I want good stuff from Japan.
There are good stuff from Japan being let out now.
Where?
First of all, there's a new Miyazaki film, which is apparently amazing.
Okay.
There are tons of series.
No, I don't want series. Movies. Movies. Not series. I don't have time to sit down and watch 900 episodes of nonsense.
I'm sure there's another Dragon Ball Z movie somewhere.
Please. Nobody cares.
Okay, so I think I'll have to get back to you.
My last pick was kind of weak.
I have to get back to you on anime films now. But
Andrew, what's your final pick?
My final pick is All the Real Girls. Do you know this movie at all?
I'm not sure. Who was in it?
There was Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, okay. I know why.
There was, what's that guy's name?
Danny McBride.
And it was directed by David Gordon Green.
Now I've seen this movie. I just wanted Andrew to admit that Zooey's in the movie, which is why it's number one.
But it isn't the regular Zooey movie, though.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
No, come on. You have to agree with me. It isn't the normal, everyday Zooey film.
Was she playing a weird character?
No.
Not really, actually. She was just a girl.
It was a proper dramatic film.
Yeah. She was just a lovely...
See, this is how I know you haven't watched the movie.
No, I haven't seen it.
No, it's an amazing film. Like, when I heard about Pineapple Express and I saw Snow Angels and everyone was talking about David Gordon Green, I decided to look back and I watched All the Real Girls. There are two O's in Zooey.
Hang on a second, I'm going to turn off my mic while I beat the shit out of Damien.
David Gordon Green, and I decided to look back at what he's done, and when I saw All the Real Girls and it was starring Zooey Deschanel and Danny McBride, I had to go back and watch it, and it's a good film. It's a love story, not a romantic comedy. About these characters in, like, the Midwest in America, and it's just a nice story to watch and see, and everyone should go out and watch it.
Are the characters racist?
No, they're not.
Damn it.
But then again, I don't remember many black characters in the film.
Racist.
Yeah, so
Douglas, what do you think about this movie?
I thought it was a good movie.
And we actually watched it right after we came back from Yes Man.
Yes, was it right after?
Yeah, it was right after.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
I remember thinking to myself that...
You liked the movie with Zooey Deschanel?
Oh my goodness,
yes.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
But yeah, I remember when I watched all the... What's the name of it again?
All the Real Girls.
Yeah. I thought to myself that this was actually her showing that she can really act as opposed to being pretty and
quirky,
goofy and... you know, saying lines in a semi-decent way. She actually pulled off her character extremely well, I thought.
Okay, just to end it off, like, I know sometimes when people are making lists, 5 just isn't enough. Were there any that you'd like to mention that just didn't make the 5?
Sure. There was Love Actually. I don't
know. But that's a huge film.
That is huge.
That's why I didn't make this.
No, but I mean, movies that qualify for the list.
I'll put it on and wait. No, everyone's seen that movie. I don't know, Hunger.
Okay.
I actually thought about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. No. It's right here in the middle of the table.
Everyone's seen it.
You know,
movie.
You could see. But I really wanted to talk also about the music video that Michel Gondry made with Jim Carrey at the time, which was great. It was, I can't remember, something about peaches, whatever, but it was Jim Carrey driving in I don't even know what to call it, a buggy that was changed to look like a bed, and he was all decked out in his pajamas, and, you know, he went to the gas station, and the gas station attendants filled up his buggy / bed, and then he drove off in the middle of like some huge freeway, and this was actually filmed on a freeway in the middle of the night where people were actually driving in it, and I thought that was hilarious. He was singing some sort of Elvis Presley song. It was kind of cool.
Okay.
And see, so I get to talk about it even though it still wasn't on my list. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
What was on your list?
The two movies that didn't make it into my 5 was The Tracy Fragments, which I spoke about a couple episodes ago. It's an amazing film. People need to go and watch it. And I want to watch the guy's other film that was just made and is out in like festivals now, Pontypool. It's the same director.
I've seen that name, but I really don't know what that is.
It's a zombie film thing, and it looks fun. And the other movie that didn't make it, now that I think about it, Dan in Real Life.
That movie is amazing.
I don't hear people like raving about that movie at all.
Yeah, and you know what? The second best thing about that movie, other than the movie itself, is the flipping soundtrack by Sandra Lurch. He's amazing.
Is it Lurch or Lurche?
I have no clue. There is an extra E at the end. It's Lerche, but I don't see an accent, so I'm going to assume it's Lurch. Right?
But his name's Sandra.
Sandra. Or Sandra. I don't know how you'd pronounce that either. But that was a huge part of the movie, I thought, that soundtrack.
And I guess another movie I can add to it, which I recently watched thanks to Damien's suggestion, was Following by Chris Nolan.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of people won't say that.
Yeah, but...
kind of hard to find.
It's awesome. So that's all I really have to add to that.
Yes.
Thanks. Okay, so we can go into our news segment.
Yay.
I can feel the enthusiasm.
Excitement.
Right? This one is really just an update.
No, we don't talk about Michael Cera anymore. Could we?
No, this is just
Michael
an update.
Michael Cera has finally seen the light. He says yes to Arrested Development, even though there is no script. I love him. I am now going to be able to finally have some sort of closure. Yeah. They cancelled my show for no apparent reason.
I hope
and now
trash
I can
it
watch
like
the movie.
Deadlight Me movie. That's what I hope.
I actually have never seen Deadlight Me.
People rave about it.
It was very good, and then Showtime decided. Much as they did with Huff.
Huff, yeah.
No. I'm tired.
And I haven't watched Huff either. Yeah, I've only seen few episodes for that. But yeah, just to update people, as Douglas said, Michael Cera in Arrested Development. So as we were talking about weeks ago, Arrested Development was in limbo. It's all good to go.
Yawn.
Yep. Next news item.
No, we change. No, I'm not talking about
nope.
this.
Nope.
No!
No. I'm vetoing this.
Second veto, you are...
Don't don't even tell him what he was about. We're moving on.
Okay, listen, I'll say it and then we'll move on. Eddie Murphy is gonna play Richard Pryor. Goodbye. Next item.
Next.
I wanted next. To I wanted to ask who you
next.
I feel like I feel like I've been kicked out of my old podcast.
I'm glad you realized it. Finally.
Apparently they're making a remake of The Never Ending Story.
Do you remember when we watched this, Andrew?
I remember, and I love that movie.
Me too. I thought it was fantastic when I was about 8 years old. Okay. Come on. I remember how old this thing is.
Oh, come on.
This thing has Jonathan Brandis.
Hold on, Damon. You don't like this movie?
And a huge white dog that flies. No. You have to love it.
How can you not love a movie which has a scene with the horse, like, sinking into the pit? Why can't I even remember what they call it?
Right. The first time I saw it, I was a child. Then I saw it again as an adult. And as an adult, I must say, no. No, I do not want them to remake this. Because the first one, honestly, is... Just leave that. Show it to children and we can move
Actually,
on.
Actually, you realize there have been three already, right?
Who cares?
There were the first two with Jonathan Brandis. And then there was a third where a little known at the time, Jack Black was actually in.
Jack Black was in one of them?
Sir, Jack Black was in Never Ending Story.
Oh, shit, no, I have to go and watch all of them again.
And I'll never watch any of them again.
Oh, like, do you think that... We've had this discussion already about unnecessary remakes, but can you think of any movie that you think you want them to remake?
Not really. You see, I'm weird in the sense that I don't look for these things. So if they remake a movie and I think it looks good at the time, I'll watch it. And if I think it looks bad, I'll say it looks bad. But I don't like the concept of them just remaking everything just because, you know, it's a trend that's happening now, clearly, and it's working, and, you know, they'll make money. I don't like that. So if, you know, this is something they're doing for the merit of the script, say, or something like that, then sure, but if it, why do you need to do it?
If it's something that will genuinely add to the original experience, right, then maybe. Still not yes. But maybe. But most of them, they just, because it was popular then, and you know, they're out of ideas now. let's just buy this property and remake it. I mean, they're like, we're going to update it. But even you guys bitch and moan when Lucas updated the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I spent a very long time searching for the DVDs that had the old versions on them.
And I'm so happy you found them.
Yes.
I mean, like the last fight scene when it was flying through space and whatever, that shit looked atrocious. And if they were going to update that, right, if they were going to keep all of the movie the same and just update that so that it looks like an actual plane flying through actual space, then I could have said, well, you know, maybe, but they'd have bust it and you'd have hated them for doing it anyway. So why? What's the point? If you want people to watch the movie again, then just put another push behind it. Yeah, it's an old movie, but people watch old movies all the time.
One thing I'm kind of happy about the remake thing is it informs me of the older films. Like, I think it was last week or the week before they released a trailer for Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. I actually just finished watching the original today, and I like that movie. And I think what I like most is Walter Matthau's performance. And I also can say that that movie looks like something that it would be interesting to see a remake, even though that trailer was horrible.
John Travolta.
Remember John Travolta, isn't it?
I don't mind John Travolta.
Hey, leave John Travolta alone.
When was the last time he was in a good movie?
Bolt.
Okay. No, alright. I'll give you Bolt. Four Bolt.
Hairspray.
Hairspray was shit.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
You're a heartless man. Heartless. I mean, John Travolta, he's tried to, you know, commit career suicide many a time.
I mean, like, let's not talk about Wild Hogs.
I mean, but he's not that bad. You gotta break.
Alright, another news item that came out this week. Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg are set to star in the new Adam McKay film, The B-Team.
This is fun news. I know with Will Ferrell,
as with most of his movies, it's either a hit or a miss. Yeah, I right now, just looking at the credentials and the information given, I would say it doesn't look that good. But you never know. He has turned out some really good movies in his time where I thought he would turn out crap, and vice versa. So we'll just have to see.
The way I feel about this is that this is how it goes. Like, as I'm reading the title, Will Ferrell, I go like, maybe. And Mark Wahlberg, ah, shit.
Hey, what happened to on. I Love Mark Wahlberg, Andrew?
That was before last year. Max Payne and... what's that other piece of movie that I don't want to remember? Yeah, the one that Zoe was in. The Happening. Like, yeah, Mark Wahlberg has no credentials at all anymore.
Stripes.
Yeah, so Will Ferrell, maybe. Mark Wahlberg, shit. Adam McKay. Oh, I have to watch this movie. Will Ferrell, Adam McKay combination. That's Talladega Nights. That's Step Brothers, which I loved last year.
Step Brothers.
Anchorman, which I'm willing to say was okay. I'm always up for an Adam McKay film, though. I can't wait. And the B teams spoofing off the A team. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
But you see, that's the thing. It almost sounds as if it's not really going to be a spoof of the A team. It's just the name.
I'll wait for the trailer. Then I'll get excited, or not.
Yeah, I'm with Damien on this one.
Right
I'm
now,
not sure yet.
Right now.
I can't wait. I'm excited. And now our last bit of news is the Green Hornet, which has been having lots of trouble with casting and everything. Michel Gondry has been attached to direct the Green Hornet. And what I find most interesting about this is...
that he's going to make everything out of cardboard?
More than likely.
Yes!
But the fact that there was a quote pulled, Seth Rogen said the reason why he got the job was he actually took his own initiative and directed a one fight scene with a bunch of stunt doubles and sent it in, and then they gave him the job.
Wait, hang on, Andrew, can you call them stunt doubles if they're not doubling for anybody?
Alright, stuntmen. I'm sorry, wrong word. Stuntmen.
Oh, okay, I was just checking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's how he got the job, which I find amazing. So he must have some form of like interest in the project, which is always something I look for whenever directors. And Damien is like falling asleep.
Yeah, Damien doesn't appreciate just the greatness that is Michel Gondry.
I mean, I know Be Cry and Rewind was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, that
but
really was. But everything else he's ever done is amazing.
I couldn't care any less about Green Hornet. It's not about Michel Gondry and...
what do you have against Green Hornet?
And what's its face?
I think it's Seth Rogen.
What the hell is a Green Hornet and why should anybody care?
I used to watch a TV show. It was pretty cool.
How old were you when you watched this TV show?
Actually, I never watched it when I was younger. It was like 4 or 5 years ago. It used to come on Starz on Saturday mornings. I would watch it.
Oh, it came on Starz? Actually, you know what? I watched that on... was it TCM or... yeah, one of those channels.
Yeah, and I would watch it occasionally on Saturday mornings when I woke up early enough.
Oh no, which station had on Get Smart?
I don't remember.
It's an old TV station. One of those stations had it on as well, so it's pretty big. Bruce Lee was in it as Kato.
I don't care. When there's a trailer, you can wave me up on it. That's it. There's no other
news this week. Like even with the trailers, like I had to pick a fake trailer to put in the trailer segment.
That's impressive.
So we're going to start out with our trailer segment now, and we're going to start with the fake trailer, which is Mel Gibson's Colonel.
In a nation divided. When brother fought brother, one man had it all.
Oh, Josephine, God hath smiled upon us today. I have been promoted to a colonel. Josephine. No! Live, baby. Don't do this to me, baby. Live.
It's the original recipe. God, I wish you life.
I will. And I shall not stop until every single one of them is dead. Finger-licking dead.
From the producers of Braveheart and Step Up to the Streets.
Kentucky's gonna fry tonight.
A story of war. Betrayal.
But I love him, Paul!
Well, love him then! In hell!
Redemption.
You entrusted me with 10 herbs and spices. But I've added an 11th. My tears.
Mel Gibson. Jimmy Kimmel. Introducing Captain Sully Sullenberg.
Ah, I've got to kill all you damn geese! Ah!
The Colonel.
We're going to need a bigger bucket.
This film is not good.
Right, so what do you guys think of that craziness?
I think Mel Gibson's still racist.
What?
Didn't he tell everyone it's the Jews' fault and the Jews are on Hollywood?
Yes, he did say that, and I'm sure this has something to do with that remark. But I have to say, Andrew, I'm very upset with you.
Why?
You know I've never seen this trailer. And wait. You decide to play this trailer such that I can't watch it because, you know, your computer's screwing up.
It's Flash.
How
Flash
dare
is false.
You?
I'm gonna have to re-record that trailer.
So it sounded like it was hilarious, but I don't really know. You guys out there in the chat room, tell me what you think. Did you see it? Could you see it?
I doubt they could see it properly.
Yeah, probably not. And if they think it's funny, then I think it's funny. Whatever.
But no, I mean, it's really a slapstick comedy because, as you can see, he was trying to push every line he could from Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, 10 herbs and spices, but he added an 11th, his tears.
It was funny. I must give him. Whoever wrote that for him, good work. Or his team of writers, because, I mean, pretty sure he didn't write it himself. But this doesn't change the fact that he's still racist.
I still find his movies awesome. I mean,
well, he's
partial.
A good actor,
yeah, but that's partial because you're also racist.
If you say so.
And I do say so, you racist bastard.
Okay.
But no, it was funny. It's funny. What else? I mean,
I guess there's not much more to say. Douglas couldn't watch it. Damien kind of.
No, I saw it before.
Question, if this was a real movie, would you go and watch it?
No.
Well, seeing as I couldn't see the trailer, probably not. I've never seen the trailer, so I wouldn't, you know, be tempted.
I'd get the DVD.
No, think about it. A movie about Colonel Sanders killing chickens. Really? No matter how funny the trailer looks, you know you're going to sit down in the theater, and you'll, every time there's a corny joke, like the trailer, the first time you see the trailer, you laugh at the jokes. But when you see it in an actual movie, I know that the movie is 90 minutes long. After they get through all of the jokes that's in the trailer, you still have, what, an hour and a half being bored. I mean, it's like when we see all those spoof movies, the first time you see the trailer, you kind of chuckle because you can't believe they're actually putting this in a movie. But you know the movie's going to suck, so you don't watch it.
I think I'd rent it just to watch it. Just to be like, yeah, I saw Colonel Sanders, he shoots his daughter for making love to a chicken. You know? But anyways, I guess we can move on to our other trailer of the night, and the only one that happens to be about a real movie. And it's gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, good one.
How much?
14,000.
American?
Hi. Can I help you?
My dad talked to someone about a bed.
You wanna see it?
Hey, can you see up my...
my skirt?
Not really.
Great.
I'm in the process of adopting a baby.
Did you give me this?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, it's right there on the bed.
No, I mean the baby.
Who is this girl?
She came into the store the other day.
God bless capitalism.
Do you have any interest in having sex with me?
You like her?
Yes.
You like her, like her?
I don't know.
Meet Brian. He's recently started sleeping with my daughter.
Dad.
Brian's in the process of adopting a kid from China.
You get your Chinese baby on the black market for like 45,000 US.
It sounds kind of shady.
Does it?
Or does it sound awesome?
I don't get it. You've got fertile soil right next to you here.
Hope you get the kid. You got what it takes.
What does it take?
I haven't the foggiest idea.
Hi, you said to stop by.
Wow, nobody honors that system.
That's how I roll. I got the baby.
The baby, the baby?
Let's go celebrate. Tell your girl to hold all your calls and you pop out for a quick one.
I don't have a girl.
That's tragic.
You like Harriet?
Yes.
You mess her up, I'll kill your parents. Your parents still alive?
Yes.
Good. Did he hurt you?
Sort of. He told me he loved me. Hello.
It's okay, dear. Nothing's normal.
You guys seem pretty normal.
We're not.
I assume you're making peanuts at the mattress factory. What's the long-term finance structure? I'm asking the tough questions. Go.
Yeah, that was the trailer for Gigantic, starring Paul Dano, John Goodman, and Zooey Deschanel. What do you guys think?
I thought that this is an interesting movie. First off, you know me, I've got the soft spot for Zooey Deschanel already. Second, the soundtrack, the music in this trailer was great. It actually reminded me a little bit of Sufjan Stevens, who I love. And the story looked odd enough, quirky enough, a little funny enough for me to actually say, yeah, I'm going to watch this film. Damien, what do you think?
Looks interesting. I really don't know what else to say. This whole him adopting a child from China thing. Zooey playing Zooey again in another movie. But usually those movies work out, so hopefully this one does as well.
Yeah, I mean, as usual, Zooey being Zooey is always amazing. But, I mean, Paul Dano looks great. Paul Dano looks great in that film. I love
this
him
time
from...
This time he is not a false prophet. Yeah, and his name is not NSFW. Klitsy? That's a little bit...
Was there any milkshakes involved?
No, there were no milkshakes, there were no straws, and there were no barking dogs. So.
But there was a bowling alley. Right? Yeah, I mean, I love him from There Will Be Blood, also from The Girl Next Door. He's an amazing actor. I mean, and John Goodman, I love him. Yes, there are a lot of amazing actors. John Goodman is one of them. I recently saw him in this film, Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, it was probably
Raising Arizona for the first time, and he was great in that one. I mean.
Do I own that one now? Is it?
Yes, you do.
Set?
We gave it to you for Christmas.
Yes.
So yeah, this is a movie that I'll be looking out for when I can get to see it, and I guess everyone else should as well if you're into those kinds of things. But you know, we're going to get into our feature review now of David Spaltrow's Around, and for those of you who don't know what it is, here's the trailer.
This guy, and he goes through stuff, and then there's more stuff, and people, something happens, something changes, and it either works out, or it doesn't, like, in the end.
You haven't written anything, have you?
No, not a page.
I'm moving to New York.
Why? I'm going to film school.
Seriously?
Tomorrow morning, I'm going to start conquering the big, scary city.
This is the cutting-edge film program in the country.
Didn't he just try to get to third base with me?
Anatomy drawing class.
I'm in that class, too.
You're not in that class.
Totally in that class. Jesus Christ.
It was nice to meet you.
Doyle.
Doyle. See you around.
It's a big city, right?
Seems you didn't qualify for financial aid.
There's still something we can do, though.
The system isn't perfect, but it's all we have.
Where am I supposed to live?
Where are you living?
Around.
Meaning?
It's, complicated.
Like, not enough space and stuff?
Actually, it's quite big.
A lot of roommates?
You could say that.
The police is always going to be a body. You don't shake it off in a long weekend. If you believe it can happen, and you're going down.
I'll get back up. That's what I do. What if, no matter how hard you fought, you knew you were going to lose?
Embrace the fall.
I'm interested to see how it turns out.
Yeah, me too.
Right, so that was the trailer for Around, a film by David Spaltrow. A couple weeks ago, I got an email from this David Spaltrow. I'd never heard of him or this film. And he was like, hey, let me send you a screen. I was like, sure. And when I finally got it, I was surprised because I thought he was just like joking with me. So we've gotten to see this film, and what do you guys think of it?
First, a description. Around is about a guy growing up in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, New Jersey.
And he dreams of becoming a director. So he goes off to New York to go to film school. And, you know, the movie is centered around him trying to get by while going to film school. And, I mean, it sounds typical, but he found creative ways to keep you interested. He was homeless for a time, and he developed a lot of interesting relationships along the way, and that's what the movie centered around, his relationship with his family, with the homeless, and with some other extended friends. So, the movie was pretty good. The first and second acts in particular, they felt kind of refreshing. You really didn't see a movie taken from those perspectives. Well, I hadn't seen one, but the third and fourth acts were a bit weak. The movie sort of petered out. It still kept you interested. But you sort of got the feeling that he didn't really know how to end the movie. I don't know if that was his aim. I'm hoping that wasn't the aim. The movie sort of just went. it was there, and it got you hooked, and then it just kind of ended. It was still good, though. If this is his first try, I'm not sure. Andrew didn't really give me any of the details, because he's selfish.
No, it's his only film he's made so far.
Because Andrew is selfish. But the movie, I enjoyed this movie. It feels like one of those movies that the movie channel would show. But I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Well, what did I think about Aaron? First thing I have to say, this was clearly being his first film. And clearly being straight out of film school, and clearly using some, I wouldn't say subpar, but some subpar cameras. Alright, this is his first time. He hasn't got a huge budget to work with, so he's got to make do with some not so great cameras. And that kind of detracted a little bit for me, I guess, but not hugely.
I didn't really let it distract me.
Yeah, it didn't distract me after a while when I realized, okay, this is what I'm going to have to deal with. Also, I thought that the acting was... It wasn't, you know, the best acting there could be. At times. There were certain characters. For example, I thought the homeless man, what was his name? Do you know? I thought he was spectacular.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It was great.
I thought that the lead, more than not, there were some times where he wasn't that great, but I right. thought he pulled like, it off.
When
he did well.
When he was trying to be really emotional,
uh-huh.
he kind of fell off because he has... He, like his face didn't really, what he was saying didn't match the expression on his face.
Yeah, yeah.
At times.
Okay, so we're getting a huge media spec sheet here, and we've got Robert. What? Go back up, Andrew. Right. Robert Evans was the name of the lead.
Yeah. Right.
And who's our favorite guy here? Go down. Ron Bryce.
Right.
He was spectacular. Oh, have you? I've never seen him before.
He's in like episodes of Law and Order. And
right.
Stuff.
I've seen him in all of them.
Oh, okay.
But he was really, like, really, really, really good in it.
Yeah, I thought the shell for the story, the actual, you know, storyline itself in terms of the idea, the concepts that he's pulling off was good. But I didn't think he pulled it off as well as he could have. But at the same time, I'm forgiving him because, you know, this is his first time. He still needs to go. I thought a lot of the conversations between people were cut much too much. It seemed forced. And sped up way too much, way more than it should have been, with the editing, the way he edited those conversations.
Another thing about the conversations was the fact that he, like at the start of the movie, it was clear that he wasn't trying to make this movie cliche.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And but about halfway through the movie, like it became, as you said, kind of forced. Like he was looking for ways to keep things from becoming cliche. But I mean, the reason why things are cliche is because
they actually happen.
And so sometimes in his effort to not be cliche, it just seemed, you know, it seemed kind of unrealistic.
Yes, some of the conversations were actually, I thought, a little bit unrealistic.
And some of the situations that he ended up, that he found himself in, like...
Can you talk about that without spoiling it? Is that possible?
Because
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
So he was, like, the girl that kind of came back for the party, and see, after he got his ass kicked. In the later part of the movie.
Yes.
And he went back to the girl that he had given $20
earlier.
Oh,
right.
So she just magically appeared out of nowhere. And
I can forgive that, though.
No, that's... I totally can work that one.
Right, but the conversations that he had with her... Right, because there was a party going on and she was paid to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle of this, they just went for a walk. And then after that, he got his ass kicked. And where was the first place? I mean, he was living on the streets for years. And the first place he thought of going was not to, like, places that he's been before when he was homeless. It was to this girl's house.
Mm-hmm.
Which just, I mean, it just didn't really seem, like, really plot. Someone that's been homeless for that long would have just gone back to somewhere where, you know, he was like a place that he stayed before while he was homeless. That would be the first, the natural, you know, reaction. I mean, you beat up on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Another thing I have to say though, I know this is probably just me homing in on a stupid little detail, but I really like the name and the way it was pulled off. It was a reference to the fact that he was homeless for a long time, and he even put it into the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, there was the love interest in the movie, says to him, "So where are you living now?" And he's like, around. And like, it was clearly, you know,
around,
him.
Right.
I like the way that
but
he did
I'm
that.
I'm glad that he didn't continue throughout the entire movie. Like, there was a point that, you know, he did it three or four times in, like, quick succession, and then he kind of stopped.
Oh, well, that makes sense. It was the same conversation, you know?
No. I don't mean, like, he spoke to different people, uh-huh. and at, like, the end, they were like, yeah, I'll be seeing you around.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But then he didn't continue with that. Like, people didn't continuously say at the end of each conversation, I'll see you around, or you'll be around. So I'm glad that he put it in, and then, like, he stopped.
Yeah.
Like, the message was clear.
All right. But that said, I mean, with... all of those couple of things that I said that I didn't really like about the movie. Other than that, I thought it was great. I saw, like, some of the shots, some of the camera angles, some of the scenes were so well done. You know, I looked at this and I said, this guy, he clearly is going places. He's going to be, I hope, one of the big directors in a few years, if not before. You know, I hope he gets a big movie to do and pulls it off as well as he pulled this one off. Or, not as well, better. Because he still has some work to do, but he is on his way up, I think.
Andrew, did you write this as well? He wrote this, the entire movie?
He wrote it, produced it, directed it, and he was the DP.
Hopefully, because his direction, there's things that he can tweak with the direction, but hopefully he gets someone to help him with the writing. because to write an entire script, I'm sure it's really demanding, and then to go out and shoot what it is that you wrote on the paper can be easy, right? So, you know, just as help, I don't mean that his writing is, the writing in the movie is poor, because we did enjoy a lot of the dialogue, but as you said, he cut it up. Some of it was a bit much, and
yeah,
his relationship with his mother, like at towards the end, that final conversation that he had, I was just surprised that throughout the entire movie he was, you know, trying not to be cliche with certain things, and then he fell into it.
I actually have to say I wasn't a huge fan of that relationship. I thought one of the funniest lines came out of the relationship, where she says something along the lines of I sacrificed my vagina for you, and I was just like, oh, where have I seen this before? Did I not just watch Knocked Up a while ago? You know, but yeah.
No, but you see, this film, I think I kind of have to agree with you guys more than likely, because you guys have just given it all out. I think he shows promise to be a great director. I think he shows promise to be a decent writer. And the only thing that holds this movie back is the actors. I really didn't like many of the actors. The only one that I really liked was Ron Bryce, who played Saul. And I think it was more that I liked his character than I liked him.
No, I think it was both. He played it extremely well, I thought.
While the other characters are just found hilarious. And one thing that I keep coming back to, and you keep saying, you said how towards the end he was trying to make the movie non-cliché. No, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by non-cliché, and I don't really want to say it because it might spoil the film. Right?
Cliché is like...
No, I know what cliché is. But I mean, like,
according to the website,
exactly, what exactly was cliché, you know? I mean, how do I say this?
Like, the tidying up of the storylines. That's what's the cliche stuff about it.
Right. He could have made it. He could have made it more like all the other stories that you like. There was like, there would have been an easy way to end this movie. Right.
All
right.
Hold on. What I wanted to talk about, and all right, mild spoilers. This isn't anything heartbreaking, right? The movie is that he's homeless for the first half of the movie, and then he ends up getting an apartment or whatever you want to call it, but you start to see the character getting worse, feeling worse and worse about his scenario, and getting more and more depressed and more like lashing out at things as if he has to be homeless. And that's what I was thinking about, like being semi-cliche about, like, once you've gotten used to one thing in your life, if you change it, it just affects your entire personality, which they do in a lot of movies nowadays.
That really wasn't...
That was not the cliche, Andrew. We were talking about something completely different.
That really wasn't it.
Which is why I was wondering what you were...
We're talking about the tidying up of the storylines, Andrew, and we're trying not to spoil the end of the movie for people.
So I'm talking about the actual end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Right. Remember, he was going to film school. And
yeah.
That was the reason why it was in this situation.
And he had this weird relationship with his mother, where they kind of almost didn't really love each other that much.
Right. Because she sacrificed her vagina.
Exactly,
and
because
he had
she
this
sacrificed.
Weird relationship with his kind of girlfriend, the love interest character.
Yeah.
And again, there was an easy way to end this movie. A really easy way, which would have been really cliche, But I think in his efforts to ensure that it wasn't that, the movie kind of ended. Like, there was nothing...
Actually, I would say that one part of it was a bit... It ventured into the gray area of cliche, and then the other part did not.
You're right.
That's what I think. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think that the cliche part was bad. I'm not saying that.
Right. It was done.
Yeah, it was worth it.
The only character that I really had a problem with was the male friend. Michael Torrance.
Marcel Torrance. Yes, right, the friend from In Jersey. Right.
And his character's name is Logic.
Right. No, when they were small children, it was fun. you could see their relationship. But when they became adults, I don't know, something like his character I'm not sure if it was just poorly acted or if it was poorly written. I'm not sure
what exactly it is
about his character that I'm not a fan of. But no, I'm not a fan of his character.
You know what? I think that character, right? The way it was written was fine. I mean, you could see there were certain tensions that he was trying to pull on, which he did well. But as you say, I don't think the acting was that good.
Something was missing.
But I think the story itself, the words on the screen or on the paper for that character was fine.
So yeah, overall, this movie was good. Overall, I think this movie was a good movie, and I hope that it finds some form of distribution so people can get to see it.
Seriously.
Better than a lot of the shit. Better than Street Fighter.
Better than Street Fighter. And,
and I may get shot down for saying this, but I'm pretty sure it's better than Pi.
No.
No?
No.
I remember watching it. I watched Pi. I even bought the DVD.
And you tried to like it.
And then I gave it to somebody else.
And then I bought the DVD and I love it.
I don't know. I have to watch it. All right, I'll watch it again and I'll see. But I despised that movie when I saw it first. If I knew that Darren Aronofsky directed Pi before I bought Requiem for a Dream, I would have never bought it. That's how bad, how much I hated that movie.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, for his first time out...
Is this David Spalter we're talking about?
Yeah, Spalter we're talking about now.
It's pretty good. It's not Christopher Nolan, because the following is on. Move's fantastic. I still can't believe that was his first movie. Because that movie is great. But, I mean, just the fact that I can talk about it, you know, close to Nolan. As in, he definitely knows what he's doing. Hopefully he gets some better actors.
Oh yeah. This is something I wanted us to discuss. Like,
Does this have anything to do with the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going.
With Around, like, can we all agree that the actors were not the best?
No, they weren't.
All right. Can we do something like a fantasy cast? Like, who would you cast in each role if there was unlimited budget, perfect for the role? And let me just put up the press kit so you guys can see the names.
Alright, so for Doyle, who would you take, Andrew?
I think I'd want to go with someone like Ben Foster.
Ben Foster, yeah, he's good, I like him. For Doyle, who would I go with?
What's the guy that was the lead in Lars and the Real Girl?
The guy? The guy from Lars and the Real Girl? How dare
his
you
name
refer
is escaping
to
me right now.
The guy.
What's his name?
Come on, man.
His name is really escaping me right now.
If I remember his name.
Really? Are you serious?
I know his name.
And I can't see the face.
Ryan Gosling.
Right.
Ryan Gosling.
I'd have Ryan Gosling play Doyle.
Yes, I actually agree with you. I'm on your...
Keep it perfect for that.
All right. The female... The love interest.
Zooey Deschanel. Oh, no.
No, I wouldn't cast Zooey Deschanel.
A girl that looks good because she's a model / whatever.
Yeah.
And that can also act.
No, I almost said Mila Kunis, but no.
Who would do that? I guess, what's her name? Alright, we're having much too dead time. Too much dead time here. Come on,
no,
guys.
We couldn't
pick a name.
I was going to say.
How about the woman
Adams.
From the
Amy
woman
Adams.
From
Amy
Choke.
Adams? Yeah, no, I don't like
the
Amy
woman
Adams.
From Choke and No Country for Old Men.
Oh, the Irish girl.
Yeah, what's her name?
I don't know her name.
But she couldn't pass as like a model, because this girl was a model, you know, right? So we need someone as a model figure.
No, she's not a model. She poses nude for classes.
Yeah,
that's no. You
they take anyone.
Yeah, they take anybody for
no,
that.
No. Outside of that. Like, they had the photo. She was supposed to be an actress. And they had the photo.
Oh, yes, you're right. You're right. Okay, all right. I'll give you that.
All right, let's move on. The best friend logic. I say Michael Peña.
Yeah.
Michael Peña?
Yeah.
Which one's Michael Peña? Remind me.
He's the guy who is
Shuto. The lucky one.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
he's
that guy.
Observer and Report.
But he looks old, man. He wouldn't be able to play that role.
Makeup son.
He's supposed to be like 20, 22.
Right.
They did it for Shuto.
Yes, unlimited budget. Makeup. Yeah, exactly. They did it for Shoot. He didn't look old. He played a rookie in Shoot and he played that well.
Would we change?
No.
No, he stays.
Like, for no one, even with an unlimited budget.
Sam Jackson. Look, motherfucker.
Okay. Snakes on this plane.
Alright, yeah, I don't think we can figure out anyone for the female.
No, I mean, there must be some hot chick that can act.
Who?
Name
a movie.
Fast and the Furious, the first one.
Michelle Rodriguez.
No, I know exactly. I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. The sister.
Yeah.
Right?
Sister,
shit. What's her name? She was on Entourage, I think.
And she's even in.
Adriana something. The crap is her name?
I'm pulling up IMDb.
I don't think she would work though. I think she can't act to save her life.
No, she can. There's this series that she's in, Dollhouse.
She's in Dollhouse?
Yeah.
It's on TV. They can't act.
I've been
save
watching
her life.
Dollhouse.
She can't. It should be at the top somewhere.
Jordan Brewster.
Yeah, Jordana Brewster.
Jordana Brewster.
Yeah, she probably pull it off.
She's not in Dollhouse. No, she isn't. She's in Chuck. Well, she was in a couple episodes of Chuck. She's not in Dollhouse. She's
not in Dollhouse.
Wrong. I was thinking of her. Wrong.
Right. You know who you're thinking of? You're thinking of Elijah Dushku.
Right, she.
Oh, I thought you were talking about someone else.
Right, wasn't she in Fast and the Furious?
No, the big movie she was in was True Lies.
Oh. True Lies.
Yeah, but she was like, you know,
yeah, like,
10 at the
time.
Right. Yeah. But that was a good movie. Why did you say it like that?
No, I'm like, I can't recognize. I love True Life.
Awesome. You said it with an air of disgust.
No, because,
I'm sorry.
No, because I can't picture her in the movie because she was a small child.
Yeah. But she definitely grew interesting.
I'll tell you.
Oh, we're getting suggestions from the chat. Miles is saying Ryan Gosling and Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Actually,
that could work.
Especially after we see what she can do in Rachel Gets Married.
Oh my word.
That is such a good movie.
Can I tell you, that movie would have demolished my top 10.
Yeah.
If I had seen it at the time. But yeah, I think that's all we can really say.
Hope
dear God that they would spell
not
show.
Years from now, this year they're already remaking Take the Right One In.
Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In.
He's not big yet. I want him to remake it. I don't want them to get
you mean like
somebody.
Michael Haneke did Funny Games,
right,
and
I don't want someone else to remake the film
and
for him.
The Pang brothers who did Bangkok Dangerous.
Right, he can do it over. And
with his unlimited budget.
And call whoever.
So David Spalter, we've given you suggestions for your future remake.
Yeah.
Hopefully there. Oh wait, no. Russell Crowe just jumped into my head for some reason.
For what?
Why in God's
name? Because I think he's an amazing.
He could play the guy's father.
Yeah.
Being there for two scenes and get paid billions of dollars.
So yeah. hope to dear God this gets distribution so people can see it.
Yeah, I'd buy this DVD.
I don't think I would, actually. I'm sorry.
I'd get it.
I wouldn't buy this DVD. Well, no. I would say to myself, watch out for him and buy his next movie. That's what I'd do.
See, I'd get it early so that when he's big, I can, you know, pout and be a pompous ass.
I've known David Paltrow since around.
Know that he's doing Batman 9. You know him, guys.
No. How it works for me, right? How it works for me is I just shoot him an email and I'm like, remember me? I'm the guy who...
I've been there since the beginning. I don't know where you were, watching shitty movies. But you just discovering this? I mean, I've had this guy. He signed his own DVD for me. I mean, we know he's like our brother.
I have the postage. Alright, so if it ever gets distribution, go and watch it. But all we have to say is it's awesome. Check out. And
it's very good. Huh? It's not good. Awesome.
It's good. It's not awesome. It's good.
Well, I mean,
if you watch it, you won't be disappointed.
I mean,
he definitely has talent, and we hope to see more work from him. Definitely.
Well, I'm kind of putting on the kid gloves as it's a first-time film.
Yeah, but you don't want to build people's hopes up too high. You can't say it's awesome and then someone says, well, you know, they said it was awesome and then they feel let down and hate him because of
your... Well, what would you tell the people when you tell them to go and watch The Following after The Dark Knight has come out?
It's still awesome. That movie. That's wrong.
There's no way you can compare it to him.
Oh yes, you can. The Following is... No, Andrew, honestly, the Following is pretty good.
Alright, you know what? I'm going to end it. I've been trying to end this show for the past 15 minutes.
It's better than Insomnia. And Insomnia was me.
Insomnia wasn't that great to begin with, though.
Right, but it's far better than Insomnia.
Anything is far better than Insomnia.
You, sir, are incorrect.
That Chris Nolan has made.
Right, yeah, so... The Dark Knight and The Following. I mean, Dark Knight is better, yes, but The Following is still awesome. This, I'm sure you'll be able to make movies better than this. So, we hope for the best. Thanks for sending us the screener.
Send us some more if you'd like.
Yeah.
Tell your friends about me.
We review anything
tell
that you send
friends.
Us.
So yeah, that's the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 9. This is Andrew.
And this is Douglas.
And this is Damien. The real Damien. Not the other bastard that keeps showing up on the podcast.
You can find all episodes on gmanreviews.com. We broadcast live Saturday nights on Ustream. And you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/gmanreviews.
And I am on Twitter at DJR lost his name.
Yeah, and that's all she wrote this week.
It's over!